Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's topics: giving your customers a shopping experience, the consistent value of email marketing when done correctly, and the push for a return to the traditional 40-hour work week. We'll keep an eye out for this latest strategy by stores. If you're shopping in the upcoming days and weeks, stores are trying to get you to linger longer. Is this a strategy you might adopt at your small business? The thinking here: the more customers stick around for an experience, like say coffee or even a facial, the more money they're likely to spend. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Ellen, what's going on?
Well, really what seems to be happening in some parts of the retail industry is a rethinking of what the sales floor ought to do. And essentially, it's an admission that shopping online is the most convenient, fastest way, usually, to buy things. And so if speed is what you're after, many shoppers now, some will say most, will go online. And so that leaves what to do with these sales floors. And so some retailers are starting to add lots of what they call experiential features to their stores so that shoppers kick back, relax, and get a more enriching experience than just a transaction.
Wow. All right. So before we get to those features, does this slower shopping experience plus the spending of more money translate for men and women?
Well, I am waiting to see that data because I'm curious about the same point. This is a relatively new phenomenon, but we are seeing it across gender-neutral shopping environments. Club Monaco, for example, sells both men and women's clothing. They're seeing it. Restoration Hardware, a housewares company, certainly would welcome male and female shoppers. Mm. And I even found a grocery store chain in North Carolina who sees the same trend.
So what are some of these experiential features that these places are rolling out to keep you in the store longer and ideally make you shop and spend more?
Well, Origins is revamping its stores around the globe, adding in these giant sinks in the center of the store. They are finding that if you sit down in an Origins store, you'll probably spend 40% more than if you didn't. So they are offering free 20-minute facials. This giant sink allows you to test the products for yourself. There's a large communal table where you can sit down and have a chat, either with a salesperson who they call a guide or your fellow shoppers. And they have deliberately chosen to put fewer products for sale in their store. And instead, they use their store as a way to tell the story of the brand. Their shelves are packed with raw ingredients, so shoppers can learn more about how a product is made. And there are even props around that an explorer might use if they were running around the globe trying to find the next great beauty product. And so the microscope, the mud boots, the field jackets, the lanterns that are meant to make you think of an explorer looking for the next greatest ingredient, none of those are for sale either.
How about that? Wall Street Journal reporter Ellen Byron. Well, even with all the buzz surrounding social media marketing nowadays, recent studies have shown email marketing is still the best way for small businesses to reach their audience. Here's correspondent Dominic Savino with tips on generating interest in your company via email.
While it may surprise some entrepreneurs, a recent survey by Adobe shows 63% of consumers still prefer to receive commercial offers via email. In a recent interview with Inc.com, marketing expert Brian Sutter tells small business owners to start a newsletter by first building an email subscriber list, which is as easy as adding an opt-in box at the top of your website. From there, the most important part is giving value to your content. Sutter suggests blog posts and email-exclusive deals as two ways to hold the attention of your subscribers. It may take some time to develop, but consistently supplying good content is the best method to growing your small business's newsletter. Gordon?
Thanks, Dominic. What's that saying? Content is king, right? Coming up next, the 40-hour work week makes a comeback.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
How many hours have you worked already this week? Are you approaching 40, say, when Thursday isn't even finished yet? With the lines between work and home having blurred in recent years, a finite workday of 9 to 5 has become a rarity, but some companies are trying to return to a stricter workday. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig on the push for a 40-hour work week with a full unplugging while at home. Rachel, what are you hearing?
I think this is a reaction to how work and life have tended to bleed together. I mean, some firms have taken this approach of kind of work-life integration. You can pop out early to go to your kid's soccer game or a dentist appointment, but, you know, kind of the other half of that bargain is that you are going to be, you know, responding to emails at 9 p.m. or taking a conference call on a Sunday. And so I think this is kind of a reaction to that, trying to put some boundaries back in place.
Okay. So some companies are kind of really sticklers about this, 40 hours and that's it. Who's doing it? I tend to think these things are led by Silicon Valley, but I'm not sure here. Who's doing it?
It wasn't just tech companies. You know, I found a mortgage lender, a couple HR software companies. Some of it was developers, but it kind of ran the gamut.
How do they enforce it, I guess, right? I mean, if you got a pile of work on your desk and it's 4:59 and you know you're not done, what do you do?
It is just the culture. I mean, everyone is leaving, you know, as soon as that clock ticks to 5, employees kind of police each other. If they see someone sticking around, they'll ask them, you know, what's up? Do you need any help? You know, managers say that they hire extra staff so that you wouldn't be in a position where it's 4:59 and you have a stack of work on your desk unless you're having some problems with productivity or being efficient, in which case, you know, employees and managers would notice and maybe offer you help. So, you know, they do various things to kind of keep people online.
Right. All right. So you mentioned in the story this small business called United Shore and how they police one another. What's actually involved in that?
It's just, you know, everyone is leaving at the same time every day. And if someone sees you still at your desk, you know, your manager or your employee might, you know, ask you, what's up? Do you need any help? Their stance, it's called the Firm 40. That's the name of the policy. And, you know, it means that you really only work 40 hours a week. Huh. But when you're at work, you're expected to be totally focused. And so if someone sees you, the CEO told me this story about how a salesperson had spotted someone else on Facebook during the day. And he said, you know, man, like, you know, Firm 40, get off Facebook. So I think it's kind of policed from both ends.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig. She's got an interesting story called Radical Idea at the Office, a 40-hour work week. Some call it the Firm 40. Are employees receiving this well, or do they feel, you know, I can't get work done. I need the 45, 50-hour work week.
Most employees like it. I think it can take a little time to get used to. I think some of us are used to kind of a little bit of procrastination at the office. So I think it can be hard for people to kind of refocus. And managers told me that they would have, you know, trouble with people who just couldn't really get their hours down.
What about managers, higher ups, CEOs? Are they expected at these companies to do the same?
You know, some of the CEOs did admit to me, you know, that they, you know, they police this for their employees, but they themselves don't follow it. But
Yeah. But
a lot of them still, you know, try to pick up on tactics. A lot of people talked about, you know, if they're going to send an email at night, they delay delivery so it doesn't get sent until the next morning.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a good tactic. The CEO of United Shore shared with me that, you know, he's a CEO. He had emailed someone at, I think it was actually 5:30 on a Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
And I think it was 5:30 on a Thursday. That person actually worked time shifted. They worked a little earlier and left at 5 p.m. on Fridays. And he said, you know, the employee, you know, this kind of, you know, up and coming, you know, star did not respond until, you know, Monday morning to the CEO. And that's just kind of what's expected.
Thanks, Rachel. Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig. You can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And while there, check out our daily news program called This Morning, America's First News. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.